jump at the end of a message that I didn't get the middle of it done. But we'll do that another time. We're talking about how to the redemption of becoming from a Moabite to an Israelite, to come out of slavery into sonship. To come, in, can I have a drink of water, somebody, please? And to come forward in what we're meant to do. And I'm going to just tell you how it works, and then I want to tell you a beautiful story. That'll be good. Thank you. Bye. Sorry. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many feel like that kind of describes your story? Yeah, I know it does mine. See, the transformation is through following the voice, not from the place you arrive. It's what you're going through, not what you do, that defines you. By the one who's calling you and why you're responding. It's beautiful. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country. Isn't that funny? The things God gives you, sometimes we just have to live in, though they seem to be far, far away, not ours to possess. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, generations together. Jacob was about 12 or 13 when his grandpa Abraham died. So they actually were. And sharing stories, learning the truth. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. You know, we used to think faith was to try to get something to change so that we wouldn't have to go through what we're in, whether it's sickness to health, or poverty to wealth, or a better house to another house. We might try to get to some place, and invariably you meet somebody who doesn't get there. They don't get health, they die. And I had to process it. I had prayed with Brian's dad. He was in our youth group, and I sat on his deathbed, shaking him, calling him to life, because we just knew that was not for him to have to die, but he died. So I had to learn, what do you do with that? Well, first thing is, if you're going to die, die in faith. Yeah. Oh, that's a very pathetic, yeah. Seriously, dude, come on. If you're going to, whatever you do, do it in faith. If you don't get what you were seeking, be in faith for it without, because it's on the other side if you don't get it here. Everything God speaks is eternal. This is how transformation takes place. Please go to the first service. You'll get the gist of how he calls us forth. But today I want to talk about how he brings those radical shift changes, which is what we're in the midst of. So he says, having seen him afar off, they were assured of them. Embrace them. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Having a promise makes you not belong to the planet. Sorry. Promises are not all fulfilled within the planet, and we're not of this world, and so some parts of the world will not be ours because we embraced a promise. But we were gaining something far greater, which is why I shared over in our members' class. We're gaining his nature. We're being transformed into the likeness of the second, of the last Adam, of the resurrected, life-giving spirit. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they'd called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That verse 16is this tension. And I believe most everybody in this room is inside that tension, whether you've known the Lord for just a few years, a few weeks, or for decades. Is that you, a promise given begins a pursuit. The way we become transformed is we have experience with God in his son Jesus now, where his word becomes a promise to us, to which it sets us on a journey, and the journey takes us wherever it may take us. And in the process, there's a transformation that's taking place to us. And what really then defines, does that have the lasting capacity, is we make radical commitments. When you meet Jesus and he reveals himself, it's going to be like response. Yeah. The bigger the promise, the bigger the response. The more defining of who you are to be in him, the more of him, more of you he will ask of you. And you'll volunteer and give. But then we go into the circumstances of life, and we sometimes wonder, was that a good idea? Did I make a right choice? What's going on? I need to preserve, protect, and correct. And that's never God. It's just fear and all the issues, and that's all last service. So God, though, when he sees you, no matter how feeble you feel, or weak you feel, or like you're barely making it from Sunday to Sunday, but you're wanting that thing. Like Cammie often will say, we've been touched by God, and we know he's very real and very tangible and very capable. And we do anything to be touched again. Yeah. And we go from touch to touch, from moment to moment. And sometimes there seems to be a long distance between. But God, when he sees that faith that keeps going, the patience that won't let go, it says he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call us his kids. He's delighted. I just kind of shared this story. One of our, in our last class just this moment ago, I had the question asked, when I read the scripture, I just often start crying. Do you know why that is? And I just, all inside of my spirit, smiled. I know exactly why that is. You have a tender heart. You're being touched by the movement of God's word and his delight. And God is so responsive to your responsiveness. See, we're being conformed into his image. He's not conforming himself to our image. Thankfully. So, some of the stuff we would like him to do would make us as evil as we are. Selfish as we are, fearful as we are. We've taken Christianity and created into some right and wrong. We went back to the knowledge of the tree of good and evil versus to the tree of life. We continue to go back there thinking that's where life is. It's a shortcut, we think, but it's actually the long way around. And so he says, I'm not ashamed. I know I love being their God. And that's why he looks over you. I'm not ashamed. I'm glad to be your God. So let's go to Ruth, chapter 1. This is a very tender story to me. Moabite and Ammonite were two children, Moab and Ammon. They were born to Lot's last surviving daughters after the Holocaust of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, not by man, but by God's judgment. They found themselves without a mother and without a place to live, and their dad falling in deep depression and fear. And they decided that while he lived in a cave, the best thing they could do was to take upon themselves the matter and preserve the lineage of their father. And they got him drunk on two occasions and got pregnant each time, one of them at a time. So now they're birthed these two children. They've been mighty nations. They actually drove out giants just like Israel drove out giants. But they never could have a place of identity because of the illegitimacy they carried. Or often they would in the scripture, there is much reference in the prophets to Moab as pride, arrogance, as scheming, trickery. And basically, I shared in the first service that what happens when we're born again, we're called out of the nature of fear, lust, and control to live in Christ in love, faith, and trust. And although that sounds like, of course, I'll choose that, no problem, fear has a very powerful force when it gets a hold of your soul. And it makes you try to do, which then forces you into control, where God would say, I'm going to promise you something wonderful, but I don't want you to make it happen. And I'm going to give you ample opportunity to be afraid that it isn't going to happen. And while you get into that moment of fear, I want you to come into my love, because my love will start to deal with the fear. And when you start to think that you need to take matters into your own hand and move into your own power, lust, I'm going to bring you back into place of fellowship in my promise, because my promise will be fulfilled. I am faithful. And if you feel like that's it, I can't stand it, I'm going to control this, I'm going to say, I want you just to, even if you have to say something like, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I'm bringing you into my nature. That's my pursuit. That's my journey. That's Father's intent and what he's doing in us. And now we're all going through that. And the Moabite Ammonite we're dealing with today isn't our neighbor. It's you. It's your flesh. It's your soul. Your soul that's yet yielded and submitted, and your flesh that still wants to try to resource self to accomplish God's will. It could be for good things, but it's still the origin and the means. God isn't resourcing your means. We often say the end justifies the means, and the kingdom, the means determines the end. The means are the essence. When we're judged in the in Jesus' throne of judgment, he will not judge you what you built. He'll judge what you built it with. He will not say, let me see what you created. He'll say, let me see what you built it with. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And he'll let fire test it, and we'll find out what stands and what doesn't. So it's arduous. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a learning. And so we're all carrying the Moabite spirit in us. We're all carrying the Ammonite. We're all carrying the Mount Seir. We're all trying. We're fearful people. And we can't say we're fearful because we find that that isn't really acceptable. So we have to act like we're not afraid. And yet God's saying, come on, just come and be with me, live in me, let's have honest conversations, let's carry on and journey with me. Your journey may take you in a lot of squirrely places, but I will continue to bring you to the future. So in Ruth chapter 1, we find a story of an Israeli family out of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and they find themselves in a famine. They lived in Bethlehem, and the famine, they decide it's time to leave and go find a better place that they could, you know, better economy. So they move to Moab. And in the process of time, there are a couple of daughters, the Moabites, are attracted to the two boys that came, and they get married. So now a family of four is a family of six. But after they are married, the father and the two boys, the three Jewish men, die. So now we have left is Naomi, who is the mom, and you have the two daughter-in-laws. One is named Ruth, and the other is named Orpah. And they go through their mourning and their sorrow, and something has happened to both of these two girls. They have learned to love and to value. They love their mother-in-law, and they really delight in this, the God of Israel. They have kind of moved themselves, you know, like, we like where we're going. Meanwhile, after mourning has gone over, Naomi gets news that there's bread back home. God has visited the land again. So she tells her daughters-in-law, I'm going home. And they said, we're going with you. And so they go for a little bit, and then she says, no, you can't go with me. Look at me. What do I have to give you? I'm old. And even if you were to wait, even if I had a husband and I carried a baby in my womb today for you, would you wait as long as it took for that son to grow up to become your husband? No. My girls, you've done wonderful. Go home and get married. Go find another family. Go back to your mom's home. Get married and live well. And Orpah, they're both Moabites. Just like Lot and Abraham were both Hebrews. They're coming out of the same stock, but it's the response. It's something that takes place that God uses that shifts you, and you can't get out of where you've been shifted. Orpah weeps, cries, kisses, thanks her mom. I love you, I love you, I'll see you. Thank you, I love you, I love you. Never been a greater mother-in-law, and goes home. And Naomi makes these famous statements. I'm sorry, Rachel, I'm going to tell this story. It'll be faster than reading it. But we're going to be about middle of the chapter. Let me get there and I can tell you where I am when I get to where I am. We're going to be in verse 16. Ruth, you know, she, Naomi says, go home. You saw your sister. Go do what she's doing. Don't stay there. And then Ruth just makes this dramatic declaration. The reason we make radical commitments is because to become like Jesus is going to take a radical commitment that you can't get out of. He will get your mouth where the rest of you will follow. That's called confession, a declaration. And so Ruth says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I'll go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Verse 18. So when she saw that she wasn't going to be persuaded, she goes home. Powerful statement. How many have ever sang that song, I decided to follow Jesus? No, you remember the verse, no turning back? You remember the other part, no none go with me? Well, that's why you're here. You sang the song. Well, she gets up, they arrive in Bethlehem, and everybody's excited. It's Naomi, is this Naomi? And she says in verse 20, don't call me Naomi, which is pleasant. Call me Mara, which is bitter. For Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? Life circumstances have a way of redefining who we think we are. And if you let them, they will lock you into a wrong image that's not a God image. But there's times you can't do anything about it. This is not a story about Naomi, it's a story about Ruth. Now, this is a young girl who fell in love with the God of Israel and the family and wants to have her people, and she's just abandoned everything, made a commitment, huge, and she's looking at her mother-in-law and going, you know, I think this lady's in depression, and she's in deep bitterness. And they go home, and her mom's just sitting there. See, God will join you to something that is no longer capable of producing life to bring you into life. And he'll undo the Moabite, which is always how do I get ahead by what I can do next, and link you to something that will actually seem to promise you nothing but death. Because life comes from the promise. It comes from response. It comes from liberty. So a Moabite turning into an Israelite will come into a new level of submission, surrender, service, and sweetness. Your life will kind of go bad, and God says, smile. You'll get into a worse situation, and you look who you're associated with, and you go, I'm going to bail. And you'll say, serve. You see, because your future isn't in what you're doing. Your future's in who you know. And your future's in the promise you've made and the promise he gave you. And so to make a long story, because I got to be done in 3 minutes, or your cars are not going to get out. Ruth begins to glean, chances upon a kinsman, a relative, Boaz. Boaz has heard about her commitment, her willingness to love, leave, forsake all, pursue. He opens the door of favor. She begins to collect and gather, starts to reawaken Naomi. Naomi comes to a place where she says, honey, I'm so sorry. I've just been thinking about poor old me. I need to think about your future. There's a place of rest. This is your kinsman. This is the barley harvest. There's a plan in all covenant for redemption. I want to tell you what I want you to do. Go into tonight everybody will be celebrating the harvest. They'll be drinking, making merry, and then they're going to go to sleep. And I want you to know where Boaz goes to sleep. I want you to dress up, look really pretty. Prepare yourself. And then when she goes to sleep and he's well asleep, go and I want you to uncover his feet and lay down at his feet. And she says, everything you say, I'll do. You think you're being destroyed in life when you're actually being released to life. You think that you're losing your capacity to actually get into a future when you're actually yielding yourself to the future. Meekness is still the inheritance. Meekness is not weakness. It is just willfulness and strength that has now been resubmitted to someone else. So your Moabite, your depressed, bitter mom, starting to come alive because of some favor, now has this crazy idea. You don't understand the customs, but you do. And today, you walk in, you sleep, you wake up. He wakes up. Who's this? And she goes, take your handmaid and put him under your wing. I want to be redeemed. He goes, I'll do it, but I have to clear up. There's somebody in front of me. And so he goes to work. But first, before he gives to Ruth all this lavish resources, she goes home, tells her mom. And now her mom is coming alive. Her mom is understanding covenant. She's going, this man's not going to rest till he finishes this matter. I tell you, there's a time when Jesus gets going and says, I'm going to deal with this stuff. I got a time for redemption. I got to move people. I got to move my sons, my daughters into the place they need to be, and I'm not going to rest. Because I've now accomplished what I really wanted to accomplish, which was the transformation of the inner man. But now let's move around and start changing outer man's, other men, other people. So the story goes, he redeems Naomi's son's right to bring them up and raise them up children for Naomi's sons. For Naomi's sons. And the power of that love. See, Boaz is overwhelmed. He says, how can you? You could have gone after a small, young guy or wealthy. You gone after an old dude. The moral of this story, because who comes out of Naomi and Boaz is out their great-grandson will be King David. God will so honor this faith of this one Moabite who valued the God of Israel, who linked herself to a bitter, depressed woman, who didn't disengage when she saw resource wasn't going to flow from her. See, everything that we fleshly try to do and solely try to keep, God says, I'm going to have to bring you into the future without that. And that will be very difficult unless you somehow have gotten yourself connected so far that you have no other choice but just to keep going with me. And that's how he does that often. But when you come to the other side, it's for the purpose of kingdom redemption. And it changes everything. Naomi becomes a nurse mother to her grandson. And it's just like regeneration, renewal. Everything that was once, cursed and ugly had now become beautiful. Some of you are joined to some places that would look like death and destruction, but God says to you, serve me here, know me here, love me here, find me here. For in this place, I will release your hope. In this trouble, I will bring your future. Many of us run from one place to the next because we think that our future's in the new place, when our future's inside of us. When I know it's hard how God will link you to something that seems to be, have you noticed when you were growing up and you got a job, your first job, how you were smarter than your boss? Did you ever notice that? I don't know how it always happens. You notice that happened the same thing in your marriage? Just after a while, you just seem like everybody you're joined to aren't nearly qualifying enough to be with you. It's because of the nature of arrogance. And until we come into humility and submission, we never understand that, no, that's not even the way it is, let alone the way, does it matter? Because whatever, you know what matters? It's just Jesus looks at you and smiles at you and says, today I'd just like to redeem you. I'd just like to pull you out of the muck and the mire and kiss you and hug you and love you. I just want to make you know how beautiful you are because I made you beautiful, how powerful you are, how triumphant I am. Hey, want to believe me for the breakthrough? And all of a sudden you go, sure, I don't care. I don't have to make it happen. It's breakthrough. Yeah. And he breaks through. Yeah. And people wonder, what did you do? How'd you figure this out? What's the formula? Well, I just happened to be eating tacos, and God said, breakthrough, and I said, breakthrough, and all of a sudden the taco ministry begins. And everybody's eating tacos trying to get a breakthrough. They have no clue because they never followed you through a promise in a voice, meeting, knowing an invisible God. But some of you are so close to the promises being fulfilled, being realized, and to feel the favor, to feel the favor, to feel the favor. The whole reason we go from a Moabite to an Israelite, the whole reason we go from a Hebrew to make choice to this, that, is so that we can be in his likeness. And, oh, Shibahande le bokotakisa. I want you to think in your heart right now, when was that radical decision you made for Jesus at some point? A place where he kind of said, this is that, I'm going after. There's a visitation of the Holy Spirit coming to anybody who's willing to go and allow the thing that God has said or is saying to come back alive. Trust me, if you don't want to see it, it'll be invisible. You'll never see it. You have to want God to reveal himself, or he tends to kind of ignore you. But there's a presence, there's a pleasantness of God right now. You've made some, I'm talking to you, you've made some really big decisions over life, and they've been for Jesus over and over again. And some of them have done well, and others have done poorly. It's like investing in the stock market. You wish you would always hit it, but you haven't. Sometimes you've lost everything in your pursuit of Jesus. And the Lord is coming right now by the Spirit of God to recalibrate anybody who will allow the voice of God to come back alive in the middle of that and say, what I was coming after was you, not your stuff. And I was coming to promise you my nature, not a better place. And so I am doing something that I will now take to a next level. I'll release the redemption that I have for you. Kutape. You see, Ruth couldn't go into Bethlehem on a deal. There was no deal. I'm just going to go with you. I'm going to become one of you. Your God's going to be my God. And where you die, I'm going to die. I'm just committing myself to identity and relationship. She didn't know that God was going to say, I love that kind of faith. And therefore, I'm going to bring a redemption that will not only redeem her into marriage, but I will place her in the lineage of the Savior of the world. Shabayeka. Some of us are right there. You're right in that midst of that. You don't know. You just have to go to God. God does not make deals. There are no deals in heaven. It's just, are you in or you're not? He doesn't tell you what it meant. It just, come follow me. Hashibuhumba. So right now, the Holy Spirit would say, I will awaken to you the day I spoke to you and said, come follow me. I will awaken to you the many times I've spoken to you and say, what is that to you? Come follow me. For my life that I am giving you is through a series of voice encounters, spirit encounters, where I call you to follow me. And how you respond in the midst of where you are just is the process of liberation. And I am awakening for those who will listen again the value of my voice. I spoke and you followed. I bless you for that. And I break apart the depressions and the discouragements and the bitternesses that would go surround your decisions to follow me. And instead, I will bring about a new joy. I will bring about a new wave of my spirit in just but a few days. I will soon begin to awaken inside of those who I'm ready to awaken a feast on a mountain full of wine and precious things. I will begin to destroy what has captured and removed all hope. Oh, I know where you've been, and I know what has cost you, and I know what you've done, and I know what you didn't do, and I know what you wish you would have done, and I know what you wish you hadn't have done. I don't care. What matters to me is faith in my son and response to his words and following after him. I'm about to do beautiful things, redemptive things. I'm going to change bitter people into happy people, broken people into whole people, ashes into beauty. I'm going to rearrange all kinds of stuff. and I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Let get your eyes off of people, off of the people on the side, and look to me and look to me only. For I'm about to release. I am going to undo. I'm going to liberate every son and daughter of mine on the planet. I am not going to allow my sons and daughters to be conformed to this world through their fears, their anxieties, and their struggles. I am about to liberate people all over the place and get them back on their track. I don't know, can you feel that? There's a presence. There's power in the promise. It's to activate your promise in you. It's to activate the journey you've been. Oh, yes. Father, in Jesus' name, there's slurry in the streets. So we have to slurry. Hurry, for the slurry's about to attack us. Help me. Hurry, for the slurry is about to attack me. For those of you on the internet, that means they're paving our street. We can't get out of it. Just give him some praise. Let's close by giving Jesus some praise. We praise you. Jesus! Jesus! We praise you! Father, seal, secure, move us into Holy Spirit who carries the promise sealer, the guarantor, the redeemer in this, what you're doing, and awaken all that you're doing. Don't stop. We're not going to stop pursuing this moment until it's fully released to us individually and collectively, everything you've promised us in Jesus' name. Amen.